Elizabeth Irons Folsom Fox burned the path for women in Bloomington-Normal who had dreams of writing in the late 1800s. One of the Pantograph's first female court reporters is the subject of this week's McHistory, produced by WGLT's Mary Cullen.
It was newspaper work with a vengeance.
Certainly one of the more remarkable women, or not even women, just residents of McLean County in the turn of the last century or thereabouts would have to be Elizabeth. She went by Lizzie Irons Folsom Fox.
I'm Rochelle Gridley.
This is Bill Kemp, librarian at the McLean County Museum of History. So Lizzie Folsom, our short story writer, begins to write for the Pantograph. Initially, when she asked W.O. Davis, the publisher, for a job, she says later that she was afraid that he was going to assign her to become a society reporter, right, which is often kind of relegated to women journalists. And she says, I don't think I could have stood that. It was too effeminate. She wanted something much harder. And indeed, she will become a court reporter.
At the time, I didn't know the difference between a plea and a demur. That didn't make things easier. I went to the county judge, who I knew very well, and told him I couldn't report cases honestly and efficiently unless I knew what was what, in legal parlance. He fixed up a schedule for me, which was almost akin to a law course.
But for 4 years, she will study under a county judge and learn the intricacies of law enforcement and the courts, the entire judicial system.
The job was no light one. It meant sitting through days of disillusioning drama, of seeing life laid bare to the bone, of having all the Pollyanna burned out of me, and something else, harder, colder, more sophisticated, and bitter burned in.
So Elizabeth Lizzie Folsom is suffering from deteriorating eyesight. She's finding it increasingly harder to be a court reporter for the Pantograph. She begins to look toward fiction as perhaps a second career, right? You can write, you can use your imagination and have eyesight issues. Much more difficult, right, to be navigating the streets of downtown Bloomington and making your way in and out of court buildings and jails if you're legally blind.
It meant going at 2 in the morning to get the details of a murder case, of getting a cab in the dead of night, or walking, if need be, to report a fire miles away from the middle of the town. I am not sorry about those years. They were a necessary foundation for the work that was to come.
In 1914, she tells the story. She's traveling by train to Chicago. She overhears some drama on the train.
I decided to put into words an incident that had struck my imagination. I wrote it. Arrived in Chicago, I sent it off to Munsey's,
which was an all-fiction monthly magazine, right? This is 1914, the height of kind of a literary, popular literary, middle-brow literary magazines in the country. She sends this short story off to Munsey's, doesn't expect to hear back, and lo and behold,
they bought it. With the check came a letter asking for more work. My first 8 stories went to them.
And she slowly then begins to make a career as a successful short story writer.
I then decided to go to New York to try my fortune. The man who gave me the job 14 years before advised me against it. You'll spoil a good court reporter, he said, to make a bad fiction writer. He didn't understand what it was that I faced in the dark hours of the night.
She'll move to New York City. She'll become a member of the Pen and Brush Club, which is a group of women artists and writers, and that includes Ida Tarbell, the great muckraking journalist and editor of McClure's magazine. It also includes Eleanor Roosevelt.
New York was good to me from the very start. The court work had given me a wealth of material. A court story sells easily. Yet those are not the only kind I write. Life is made up of other phases as well. I did not let myself get one-sided in outlook.
In 1928, she comes back, teaches a few writing classes at Withers Public Library. After she leaves, she really excites a lot of women in town about the potentials and then the benefits to writing fiction, and the Elizabeth Irons Folsom Club is formed. That club will later change its name to the Quill Club, and the Quill Club will become one of the long-running literary societies in Bloomington Normal.
This episode of McHistory was produced by WGLT's Mary Cullen with help from the McLean County Museum of History's Bill Kemp and Rochelle Gridley. You can subscribe to the McHistory podcast on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Find them all at WGLT.org.